Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some.
You know the term salt of the earth? I guess I screw up the term. I call it dirt of the earth. I said it like the most earnest way possible.
I'll put a smile on your face. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Friday afternoon. Day two of Craning Camp in the books. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman here for Birds with Friends. Zach, how you doing?
Doing great. Excited for the pod. Apologize for being late. I was trying to get that running diary in as quickly as I can, and that is being edited now. So maybe by the end of the show, it'll be up on The Athletic.
Now, what was your running diary process? Did you go to practice today, committed to, I'm doing the diary bit today? Did you get midway through and say, I need to do this? Did you think about abandoning it at any point? What was the writing process?
So in my notes here, I kept everything with timestamps.
Sure.
Okay, just in case.
Of course,
you have to.
Yeah.
And as I was downloading, if you will, I didn't think there was any like huge headlining story.
It was a yellow day. Yeah.
That needed to be front and center. Sometimes when you do the running diary. But the best thing that happened in practice occurred three quarters of the way through, and you feel like that should be at the top. You're saying
bury the lead, so to speak.
Literally, yeah. So my thought process was that maybe I'll just be the eyes and the ears of the reader at this session. Give some notes of what happened. Maybe a little color here and there. Add in some quotes, an observation or two. And then what I realized is that it's probably the nature of practices without pads. It was leaned very heavily toward like wide receivers. And I didn't have much on the offensive line today. That's probably because I didn't watch practice with you, and you're an astute observer.
Well, tough angle today. They're in the middle field, and they were sort of on the far side, and the offense was coming towards us. So tough to really get a good angle. Yeah. On the offensive line. But yeah, I mean, they weren't in pads today, so yeah. It's hard to really judge.
Yeah, but
I don't think you missed much.
But it was a people were saying it was a 75-minute practice, hour 15 minutes. I had hour 19.
Wow.
But okay. I guess it depends when you consider them starting, at the stretch or at the first drill.
Well, it depends,
right?
if you're committed to accuracy or if you're just looking to be in the right ballpark.
What's your approach? Is it the first drill or the stretch?
I would say I think it starts at stretch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they finished practice at 11:19 today. Okay, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And it started right at 10?
Well, that's they were stretching at 10:02. Mm. They were out there in a full team stretch at 10:02.
Well, wouldn't that be an hour and 17 minutes, then an hour and 19 minutes?
No, but they started stretch before that, but there were a few guys lingering.
Ah, well, now we're really getting into the weeds.
Yes. Anyways, let's...
And here's the other thing, Zach, and I know you know this because, you know, it was a big topic. The heat. I mean, to practice and play football in the heat. Oh, boy.
I know you're joking about it, but I did need a little catchy headline or catchy opening after your opening the other day, which I thought was awesome, where you had, you know, the fans comment, right?
I did like, not the lead, but it was very funny just to hear Nick yelling and then one of them is like, yeah, there it is, baby. Yeah, the baby coach.
Yeah. So I thought that set the scene. So to set the scene today, I thought, you know. You have Sean Desai coming in saying, you guys hydrated? So, led with that. Yeah, led with... I was going to lead with Sirianni's... I don't want to call it an outburst. I think that's hyperbole. Mm. But I was going to lead with that, but I didn't want to do that 2 days in a row. That was the Wednesday opener. There has to be more than just... Mm. It was hot. Whenever I get asked about it, I always say they're... Like in football pads or in football gear, I'm just watching. It's not that bad for me. So,
yeah, but I mean, doesn't mean it's not a fun thing to just be sitting there sweating. You know,
that's why it's important to stay hydrated.
Now, do we need to get to the hydration conversation, or should we save that for later in the show?
I didn't expect to get into it. I thought we could keep that private. If you wanted to air it out here,
this is a little tease. We'll get to that at the end of the show. We've got some bird on the street to get to, the latest news and notes. We've got some Quackness report. Then we're going to do a new game, you know, a familiar setup, but a new format here. Turkeys to the castle. We're going to go through the position battles at each position. Spread our turkeys around on how we think they're going to turn out, and then we will revisit this at the end of camp just to see sort of how much things have changed over the course of, 3 weeks or so. But Zach, why don't we start with the Stone Cold Newsman, see if there's any hot tips across the wire.
Hassan Reddick remains sidelined. That is the big news. We knew that, but he still has that groin injury that's going to stretch through the weekend. He's likely to be back after the weekend. And then Avante Maddox, Derek Barnett, still limited. Avante Maddox, though, took some work with the team in 7-on-7s today, so he's making progress. I think a little piece of news, it's not earth-shattering, but I think fans might be interested in this one. The Kelly Green uniforms that literally have been anticipated for years, because this has been an annual owners meeting discussion, is the Kelly Green uniforms, and they had to get the helmet approval passed. They're going to be unveiled and available for sale on Monday, July 31st. That's relevant news. And not necessarily news, but this was the first time Darius Slay spoke to Philadelphia media since signing his, or since the, however you would frame what occurred this summer. It looked like he was going to be released. They renegotiated the deal. He's back with the team. And also, they hired Matt Patricia. So to that, he said the contract situation, that's just the business of football. He said he was fine. He just needed to get it sorted out. It wasn't that hectic from his perspective. And then he said that before Matt Patricia was hired, the team reached out to him, asked if he was cool with it. He said he was cool with it. He said they have to do what's best for the organization. He said him and Patricia talked it out. They've I guess you can say reconciled. Slay said Patricia's here to make him better. Patricia wants to become a better coach. So, you know, they can work together there. He said they communicate every day. And he said that Patricia did not need to apologize to him. It's just one of these things that they're both here to do a job. So that's the story from the NovaCare Complex. Back to you in the studio, Bo.
Thank you, Zach. Let's talk about the sleigh thing for a second. Because for anybody who doesn't have this background, you know, the two of them clashed in Detroit. And, you know, this was not just like the case of they just clashed in Detroit. It was the kind of deal where Darius Slay, who is, you know, open with his thoughts, would, I mean, he would throw Patricia under the bus just to any random stranger in the locker room, you know, any just trash the guy. And so it was interesting when they hired Patricia that they were willing to do that. So it did seem, I was not on Slay. I was, you know, the setup in training camp is they've got a couple guys, they've got a guy on the podium, and then they've got a guy talking to the media around back. I was with those guys, but it didn't seem from watching the video that this was like Slay putting on a show, nor is that his personality. It seemed like he was telling the truth.
Yeah, no, I did literally see them interacting today because for full disclosure, for a sneak peek for a tease, I have a note in my practice report about Patricia, includes that and Sirianni watching a period of practice with Patricia. But so I was watching Patricia during this special teams period.
Now does he have a pencil in the ear?
Good question. He did in the spring. I didn't notice it. Okay. But good question. I saw him and Slay walk by each other and interact.
Okay.
So to answer your question, I don't think he was just giving the stock answer, although to the point of stock answers, there was a funny moment when Jordan Mailata, before his press conference, says, hold on, I got to see what, you know, John Gnode is the PR guy with the Eagles, does a real good job. I shouldn't say the PR guy. He's a PR official with the Eagles, does a really good job.
He does do a really good job, yeah.
Yeah. He said, Jordan's like, I need to see what stock answers he gave me to give you guys. Mm-hmm. So, which is probably accurate, right?
I mean, I think the Slay thing is, you just wanted to make sure that if they did check in with him, right? And for him to confirm that, I think that's fine. We'll see. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever know exactly what Patricia's level of influence is this season, but we'll see how it goes. Elsewhere in the press conference setups, we had Jalen Carter saying that his goal is to be Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Mm.
Good goal for him
to set.
What
do you think of that?
It's a good goal to set, you know.
As you've noted, it's hard for rookie defensive tackles to accumulate sack totals.
It is. We'll have to be impressive, but I mean, what do you, it's his goal shouldn't be. He shouldn't set a goal of have an above average rookie defensive tackle season. You know, let's aim.
That's true.
Aim for the moon, and if you aim for the star, what is it? How does it go?
Reach for the sky, and if you miss, you. Still among the stars.
Something like that, yes.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith, what did Smitty have to say?
I was only in Smith for part of it, but not much. Yes, it's fairly soft-spoken.
I'm going to go ahead and block this Chiefs jabroni in the chat.
There weren't many highlights from the Devontae press conference.
Now, what did you think of Sean Desai?
I thought that Sean Desai was a little generic today in his answers, and I get it. Look, it's day two of camp, and I kind of respect any coach who's like, yeah, I can't really evaluate this stuff after 2 days. So I get that. I think that I'm curious to see Sean's answers in a week and 2 weeks.
He had a good line when he was asked about, what's Sean Desai's defense going to look like. He's like, where were you like a month, like 2 months ago? We already talked about this.
Yes. Yeah. No, I like Desai, and I want to see him give a little more depth in some of these answers. But again, things are very general right now, and a lot of it's evaluating players, and you can't really give much. Like I don't want to say it pushed back. I followed up once when I asked about what it would take for Sidney Brown to get early playing time. And he's like, you know, Sidney Brown, Darius Slay, they're all just trying. I'm like, well, some guys are starters, right? I mean, like Darius Slay is not trying to earn playing time right now. James Bradbury is not trying to earn playing time right now, right? I understand the sentiment, but the the point is, are there certain indicators that you're looking for from Brown to know that he should be out there? Because as we've mentioned, he's not with the starters right now, right? He's not like mixing in with the top group either. And other rookie, Nolan Smith's mixing in with the top group a bit, partly because of injuries there. You know, Sweat came off for a bit at one point, and they have some veteran guys, or at least Nolan Smith's higher up there. You know, Jalen Carter isn't necessarily with the first group, but he's mixing in higher up. Sidney Brown's a little lower on the depth chart, it seems, at this point.
Yeah, we'll get to the depth chart stuff in a sec when we get to the Quacken Sport. Just want to wrap up the off-field stuff. Yeah. Last note I have here is, did you notice the visiting dignitary we had in practice today? Did that make the training camp?
I noticed the Maryland coaches, and I should have included that, and I did not include that. And now I wish.
Freaky Friday, baby. Günther Brüller in the house. Hashtag freak show, let your freak flag fly.
Mike Lockesley, of course, is the former offensive coordinator for Devontae Freako Smith DeBeppo. And Jalen Hurts. And that Maryland team, which is a favorite of Marissa, hashtag Marissa. Well, I don't know if that's a hashtag. Shout out Marissa.
Hashtag freaky Marissa.
Marissa sent us a video of Madison listening to Birds with Friends the other day. So appreciate Marissa, and we're thinking of her from afar here.
Hashtag freaky newborn.
No, please don't do that hashtag, okay?
All right, let's get to the Quactus report, Zach. Why don't we start with the depth chart stuff? What did you notice that changed from day one to day two?
Well, I think that the headlining item is what didn't change, and that's Cam Jurgens is still the right guard. There's not a one day on, one day off type thing. So if you really want to call it a competition, they're giving Cam Jurgens the chance here to be the starting right guard, right? It's as you mentioned, in the past when they had a true training camp competition, it was one day Mailata, one day Dillard, right? That's not happening here. So – and again, it's only 2 days, but my strong suspicion is they'll remain on this track unless or until they feel Jurgens shouldn't be out there. So that's number one. Also on the offensive line, Dennis Kelly was the second team left tackle today. It took him one day, if you will, to
get acclimated.
To get acclimated, and then he's out there. And those are really the main depth chart notes. I mean, along the defensive line, it's Milton Williams out there, you know, when they're in their odd man front. Oh, I'm sorry, when they have the three D tackles on the field. It was mostly from my notes, Nakobe and Nicholas Morrow at linebacker. Is that what you saw as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Safety was a little bit different today. They did it differently in 7-on-7s and in team drills, but it looked like in team drills it was Kayvon Wallace with the first team opposite Reed Blankenship, and Terrell Edmonds dropping down to the second team with Justin Evans. But then there were times in individual drills and in 7-on-7s when Sidney Brown was up with the twos, Edmonds was back with Blankenship. They were working things around a little bit more at safety, which we have seen them do in the past. But not
Sidney Brown in there.
Never with the ones. No, he got up to the twos in individual drills, it looked like.
Yep.
And at corner today, Josiah Scott was the first team nickel in team drills without Avante Maddox, as opposed to Zach McPherson. But those are sort of rotations that you would expect. And it's why I think, as you said, the big news is that there wasn't that rotation at right guard. They're leaving Cam Jurgens there.
Yep.
How about highlight plays? What jumped out to you?
Well, the first play of 11-on-11 was probably the true highlight, I would say, of the day, which was Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown, with Josiah Scott in coverage. A.J. Brown should always beat Josiah Scott, I would imagine, but A.J. Brown's a good player, right? No breaking news there. And nice throw by Jalen. A.J. used his body well. A.J. had another nice catch across the middle of the field. Shows how you can use him at different levels, but that's what jumped out. And I'll get your thoughts, but the other highlight was a deep pass from Mariota to Greg Ward, who was in his 7th training camp.
Wow.
With the Eagles. He was with the team in the 2017 training camp, right? So think about that. 7th training camp with the Eagles.
As long as The Athletic has been covering the Eagles, so has Greg Ward.
So you and Greg Ward came in together. Yep.
Well, yeah. Re came in. Let's call it. True. Yeah, I thought Mariota was a little bit better today than he was.
I thought so.
The first day. I did find myself just in the middle of practice today, like just thinking, you know, wow, some of the ball placement on these throws over the middle from Jalen Hurts are really impressive. And like, I know that's not a crazy thing to say. This is a guy who's, you know, probably a top five quarterback in the league, but on those, like, you know, 8-yard throws in tight windows, he's putting it exactly where it needs to be. I thought he was very sharp today.
Agreed. I mean, not to get ahead.
Oh no, we got a real celebrity in the chat. Looks like.
Oh, Marissa's okay. She heard we were talking about the Terps, and she jumps in.
Hashtag freak show.
So, yeah, the only blemish in his afternoon, or in his morning rather, was he underthrew a pass to Devontae down the left sideline. It was.
Yes, Josh Joe broke it up.
Yeah. That was essentially the only one there. And I will also say, before we get too far from it, at the beginning of practice, and it's noteworthy, not just because it happened, but also because it's a continuation of what Bo wrote about on Wednesday, and I referenced this before. Sirianni lit into his group during it was a ball security drill, and he was basically telling them that, in very colorful language, that if they make these mistakes now, they're going to make them in games, right? Like, this is how you lose games, essentially. And emphasizing fundamentals. And now Sirianni's always had this obsession with details. I think he's putting it into overdrive right now for a very specific purpose, and that is to guard against complacency, to really reinforce the value of these small things. I don't think it's coincidence that this has happened 2 days in a row.
Right. There's the coaching truism, right? Is when your team is doing well, you got to coach them hard. And when your team is, you're not playing very well, you got to be nice to him. You feel like this is an intentional start of camp. We had a light spring. We're coming off a Super Bowl. I need to sort of step in that A.
Yep. Well said. And if you want to see video of this, this was when cameras were rolling. I know WIP has it up. I think Brandon Lee Gouten might have it up. And so you can find that on whatever social media form you would like to go onto. We don't need to open that can of worms.
The only other little notes I had here from things that flashed today, Patrick Johnson, who had a good summer last year, had another good day today. I think it looked like he had one or two sacks. You know, I don't know that he's got a huge role to earn, but he looked good. Mario Goodrich coming down with an interception as the third team nickel on a ball down the field. Noah Ellis with a nice bat down at one point. And that's about it.
So some other ones I had. Jordan Davis had good push on.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this. It feels like Jordan Davis and Nolan Smith have sort of been gazzed up very early on from what people have seen. Do you agree with that?
Well, the Nolan Smith thing that jumped out to me today was him dropping in the coverage on a play between Goddard and Boston Scott, I believe it was. It was on our left, their right. Was actually the defense's left too. So Nolan Smith's left. And I wrote in the practice report, it's kind of hypocritical for me, because we were saying last year, like, Hassan Reddick's not here to drop in the coverage. Hassan Reddick's here to rush the quarterback. And you don't spend the 30th pick on a pass rusher because he can drop in the coverage. But I think that just shows the athleticism and the versatility, how natural he looked doing it. That he's so fluid as an athlete. And I wrote in there the discussion we had on Wednesday, which is, you see the burst from him. What you want to see is when the pads come on and there's more physicality. And he did have a rush. I was specifically watching him against Lane Johnson, and he didn't get anywhere on Lane. He has stood out. And Jordan Davis hasn't been, because I'm not watching the interior consistently. Mm. It's when I'm watching – there's snaps sometimes when I say, okay, I'm only going to watch 90 here, or I'm only going to watch 98 here. And it was kind of good timing today. I only watched 90 on a play when he had really good push, I thought. And yeah, used his body well, got in there. And that's what you want to see from him as a pass rusher.
So I don't think that it's hypocritical of you on the Nolan Smith front, because I think the situations are different.
Okay.
Now, first of all, you know, we were, as the Ospreys noted, we were, you know, probably wrong to focus so much on Hassan Reddick dropping in coverage last training camp. But he was coming off of, you know, back-to-back double-digit sack seasons. That was the role that he was signed to do. And, like, we know that he is good at that in the NFL. We don't know what Nolan Smith is in the NFL yet. They still have to figure out what he does well. And if he looks mm-hmm. good doing that, it also helps potentially free up Hassan Reddick to not have to do it more and to be able to rush the passer more. So I think all of this is, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the part of it that stood out. I don't think he's been the, I have seen some of these reports that you're referencing. And I think it's natural to like pump up the new guy. Right. And some of it might be selective.
Pump it up.
No, I'm guilty of this too. When you watch practice, sometimes there's a degree of confirmation bias, right? You go, I remember last year saying like AJ, you know, coming out of every practice, AJ Brown's so good. AJ Brown's so good. Right.
And yeah, but he was obviously last summer. Yeah.
Yeah. But point being that like you can sometimes use practice to reinforce what you already think. Right.
Sure.
And so if you have this excitement about Nolan Smith.
What a day from Elijah Riley.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That said, like Nolan Smith is the type of player who should thrive during this portion of camp because he's so athletically gifted out there. And I that is clear. There are some rushes where he is like he's 4 yards into the backfield in a snap.
Yeah. And I have seen both Jordan Davidson, Jalen Carter flash quickly, but we've still got some time before we need to worry about that.
My point is, and like the only thing I'll add to that is I imagine if you go into practice saying, like, I'm only going to watch Kentavious Street today, there will be plays when you're like, man, Kentavious Street really jumped out on that rep, you know? So, yeah.
Okay. Let's take a little break, hear from our sponsor, come back with some turkeys to the castle. And maybe some other nonsense. All right, welcome back. Wore my Roan shirt to practice today, Zach.
Looks sharp.
It's a good shirt. All right, turkeys to the castle. What we're going to do here, we've got a position battle at every position. We're going to spread our 100 turkeys around for each one. These are with week one in mind. We will then revisit and reallocate our turkeys later in the summer to find out how much things have changed, and then once again, you know, how the points are spread when week one comes. So let's start with quarterback, where the battle is for quarterback three. We have Ian Book and Tanner McKee. I can go first, Zach. I have 65 turkeys on Tanner McKee and 35 on Ian Book.
So I have 51 for McKee and 49 for Book.
Okay.
We've seen nothing in practice that would lend us one way or the other. It's been mostly the ones in the end, the twos. So hard for me to say there, but they did exhaust the draft pick on McKee. That said, Book has never been he was a fourth round pick. He was on waivers. He was claimed him off waivers. So he's never been a free agent either. He could be very valued by the league as well. I have 51-49, so I'm really hedging.
Yeah, I think I don't think it's crazy that Book could win the job. We have certainly seen draft picks flame out quickly. Already, I don't think that McKee is, you know, I already think he's above the Thorson level. He's mostly making quick decisions, it seems like. Ian Book's, like, he does have a bit of a noodle arm, but for a third quarterback, that's not the worst thing in the world. So see how that plays out. Next up, running back, Zach. Straight to the top. Who is going to be the week one running back one split between DeAndre Swift, Kenny Gainwell, Rashad Penny, and other? I think we probably know which way you're leaning, but let's hear how those turkeys are spread.
I have 50 for Swift, and then 25 for Gainwell, 25 for Penny.
Wow, none for other. That's interesting.
No. You think there's a chance someone else leads in carries week one?
I don't know. They could sign.
Are they bringing in
Dalvin Cook or something? I don't know. I only have five turkeys there, but, you know, crazier things have happened.
Okay.
I have 5 on other, 25 on Penny, and 35 each on Swift and Gainwell. I have it as a dead heat for the week one lead in running backs. I'm surprised you're, I mean, I'm not surprised that you have Swift at the top, but I'm surprised you're that heavily weighted.
Probably shouldn't be that heavily weighted.
Because, I mean, we imagine he's got a very specific role for sure, but you think he's also going to be like the first and second down running back in the backfield. I'm not convinced of that, obviously.
Well, I think Penny's gonna get the ball a lot running the ball. I think Gainwell's role will probably be similar to last year. Hurry up situations. They probably still trust him there. I think Smith's gonna get a lot of work. Swift is going to get a lot of work. I could be wrong, and again, it's still early in camp. That's why we're having these conversations now. But I think Swift will lead the running backs in snaps.
Okay, and just to say this, this will be determined by snap counts within two scores, right? So we won't. So if it's a blowout in the fourth quarter, those snaps won't count. Fair?
Sure.
For week one, I don't know. We got to get ahead of it.
Yeah, that's fair. I honestly didn't.
Dennis is going to need to know this. For
credit to Bo Wolf, by the way, for I got this email last night. I was pumped to see. It was like a rundown. It was awesome.
Now, see, when you do that, it's a bit of a backhanded compliment that you don't usually get a plan for the show.
Well, that's not. I've said that before.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
listen,
not.
You're free to do that as well. You know.
I would love. Both. I mean, our audience would know. We could take a poll of the side here. If I tried suggesting what we do on a show one day, Bo would.
Oh no! What are you? You are welcome to suggest. Just don't suggest that the episode ends after 35 minutes.
I came to lunch one day and said we should have more guests, and the show's too long, and it caused literally people had to apologize to Marissa for what that experience was like for her, because I had the audacity to suggest that the show be shorter and have more guests.
And the first guest that you suggested was Emmanuel Acho.
Yeah, I actually still think Emmanuel Acho would be a real good guest on this show.
Okay, but you can do that. You can do a separate one-on-one for that episode. All right. Next up, wide receiver 3. We've got Quez Watkins, Olamide Zaccheaus, and other. I've got 60 on Quez, 45. No, that doesn't add up. Let's say.
It's a good way to win, though.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go 60 on Quez, 35 on Zaccheaus, and 5 on other.
I actually had the exact same.
Really?
So I'm going to adjust it just so it's not the same. I will go.
Well, that's not. No. Keep it tied.
Okay.
And then when we get to it back in the summer, we'll change it. But
so the only thing here is that I do think Zaccheaus is going to get some more work in the slot than Quez. So maybe that in the 11 personnel, they like OZ there. I'm going to call him OZ, I think, to make it. Because is it Zaccheaus or Zaccheaus?
Oh, Zaccheaus. I don't know.
So in any event, I think perhaps they like him more in the slot. But just based on what we've seen in practice, Quez has been with the ones. Zaccheaus has been with the twos. And I know it's 2 days in, but that's still how I'm anticipating it going.
It is Zaccheaus.
Zaccheaus, not Zaccheaus.
Olamide Zaccheaus. But okay. the it's not Olamide, it's Olamide. The emphasis Olamide. Is on the O.
Mm-hmm. A UVA guy.
Okay. I think there's an opening for Zaccheaus now. I had it right the first time, and now you got me second guessing. I think there's a real opening for him, no doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, Quez was ineffective last year and not targeted a ton. I'm willing to believe that like his speed opens things up for some other guys on the field space wise, but the Eagles need more out of that. I mean, it's the same conversation we had about running backs last episode, but the Eagles need a little bit more from that position. And, you know, this is another resource allocation thing, and how much could they really, you know, if there's a capable outside wide receiver on the market, it's not like they're going to be able to sign that player. But, you know, looking at those numbers for the offensive rundown about just how dominant Devontae Smith was in the slot last year, it's interesting that the one guy you bring in is a slot specialist, right? And so you would think you would maybe want to lean a little bit more into getting Devontae in the slot, but these are all moving parts, and it's not like Devontae's not also good on the outside. So,
do you think the other is only someone from the outside of the organization, or do you think there's any down the, like Deion Kane? Do you think Deion Kane's someone who can push? Do you think any of the
not for the number three job? No.
Okay.
I don't see any scenario in which there is a player on the roster other than those two who is.
Yes.
The week one number three receiver, aside from, you know, injuries. Yeah. Do you?
Yep. No, not on the roster, but I do think that they can bring in someone from the outside potentially.
And there aren't a ton of options. I mean, on the street, I think it's just Jarvis Landry, but you know, there could be a trade possibility.
Or a player cut. Yeah.
Right. All right, tight end two, Zach. Now I'm a little bit more interested in who is like the number two receiving tight end, but that's hard to quantify. So just for tight end two, we've got Jack Stoll, Grant Calcaterra, Tyree Jackson, Dan Arnold. How do you have your turkeys?
I have 40 for Stoll, 20 for Tyree, 25 for Calcaterra, 15 for Arnold. Is that adding up correctly?
I think so.
I saw you. Okay. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. It is. Yeah, that's 100.
Interesting.
So I think Stoll's had that job the past 2 years.
And there was today. I don't know if you noticed this, Zach. The pocket had collapsed a little bit. And Jalen Hurts, you know, what do you do when you're in chaos? You revert back to what you trust. And you saw him go to his security blanket and he hit Jack Stoll. And I know that everybody was thinking, there he is. He trusts him. You could tell.
I knew you were gonna go with that joke. It's probably a bad sign when I can anticipate your humor a few steps ahead. It's like I've been playing checkers with Reed, and we've been talking about how we should probably graduate the chess soon, but how you need to anticipate the next move, right? And so I could see that coming once we establish this. But yeah, to answer the question, Stoll has been in that spot in the past year and a half. They do like him. I think if they want more of a pass catching threat, Calcaterra, like you've written about, could push. Tyree Jackson, I've been bullish on Tyree. I still make the joke I would make is when they traded Zach Ertz and they're like, well, we need to see Tyree Jackson.
Yeah, we gotta open up some spot. Yeah, we gotta open up
exactly
snaps for him. Yeah.
And Dan Arnold has experience in the league, but I haven't seen anything in 2 days to suggest he should be out there.
I've got 55 on Stoll, 30 on Calcaterra, 13 on Jackson, and 2 on Arnold. I think there could be a role for Tyree Jackson potentially, but I don't see him going all the way up to tight end 2 by week 1. What was yours again? 60? Oh, no.
No, 40, 20, 25, 15.
40, 25, 20, 15. Thank you. All right, next up we've got right guard, the main event of camp. A little bit,
I'll go
first.
Jump in.
It's my turn to go first.
Okay.
I have 75 on Juergens, 20 on Steen, and 5 on other.
So I have 75 on Juergens, 25 on Steen. I don't have another. I don't think it's going to be Driscoll. I think it's going to be Juergens or Steen.
I think that's fair. I think it's not over.
But
there are, you know, if Juergens falls back or if Steen looks fantastic, I think that they will give him a shot, but I think it's likeliest that it will be Juergens at this point.
A question I have for you on this is, as I was thinking about it, is let's say the same injury to Jason Kelce occurred this summer that occurred last summer, So you know you're getting him back for the season, but you know you're not going to have him during the summer. Does Juergens play center, or do they keep Toth? I'm sorry, do they keep Toth at center?
I think if it's the exact same deal where you know he's going to be back week one, I think Juergens stays at right guard. I think if he was going to miss a week or 2 weeks, and that was the in the season, I mean, then I think Juergens probably would go to center. But I think if it was still the expectation Kelce was going to play week one, I think Juergens would stay at right guard. What do you think?
I agree, but that's the interesting scenario in my mind. Yeah.
Okay. We move to a real big one here. Defensive tackle 5. Now you've got Jordan Davis, Fletcher Cox, Milton Williams, Jalen Carter, all assured of roster spots. But DT5 is an important role in the defense. You know, these guys played about 25% of the snaps last year combined. We've got Kentavious Street, Marlon Tuipulotu, Moro Ojomo, and Noah Ellis.
Yeah, so 40, 30, 25, and 5.
40, 20 on Tuipulotu?
No, 30.
Oh, 30. Okay.
40 on Street, 30 on Marlon T.
Yeah.
25 on Ojomo.
Okay.
And 5 on Ellis.
Interesting.
And the Ellis is only if they want a backup nose.
Well, that's why I have it a little bit different. I have it I have it 35 on Kentavious Street, 30 on Tuipulotu, 25 on Noah Ellis, and only 10 on Ojomo.
Because you think he's the perfect practice squad guy.
Not even. I think he might be on the roster if they like him, but I'm not so sure he's ready to play relative to those other guys. I think Kentavious Street is, we both have him as the most likely option. I think he is the most likely option. Tuipulotu was okay last year. I think there is a better chance that they want a true backup nose tackle in Noah Ellis than there is that Ojomo is ready to play in that role. That's all.
Good point there. Yeah. Before we get to this next one, I did want to bring up, perhaps something we talk about afterwards, but I didn't say this in the news front, and it is worth mentioning here. Field Yates from ESPN had a report yesterday that the Eagles restructured Derek Barnett's contract. He was previously due $7.5 million with a $1.5 million guarantee and up to $1 million in per-game bonuses. He's now due $3.5 million in guaranteed salary with $250,000 guaranteed per game and up to $2.25 million in incentives. What did you make of this cap maneuvering?
Well, I was going to wait to get to this when we did our next one.
Okay.
But
gotcha.
To me, I thought Derek Barnett was entering camp a little bit more unlikely to make the team than likely to make the team.
Okay.
Just based on some of the things we had heard behind the scenes, like the way that they were talking about him, like let's just see if he gets healthy. To me, this means he's going to be on the team. Like this is them working together. He's going to be on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that?
That's why I interpreted too. Yeah.
So I think that's interesting, and that's why for this next one, we have it as edge, like 4 or 5, depending on whether you count Nolan Smith as an edge or not. But that last guy in the rotation. Is it Derek Barnett? Is it Janarius Robinson? Or is it other? I have it as 60 for Barnett, 35 for Janarius Robinson, 5 for other. And that might not even be high enough.
Yeah, so after that change yesterday, I had it as 65 for Barnett, 30 for Robinson, and 5 for other.
Okay. Now, Robinson has a shot, and he's done a couple – interesting things over the first 2 days of practice. But yeah, I think it's pretty easy to read that as now his Barnett's contract was structured such that it was going to be really penal to release him. It would have been much more likely that they would trade him. But the restructure makes it seem to me like he will be here. Next up, week one starting linebacker next to N'Kobe Dean, Christian Ellis, Nicholas Morrow, or other.
So, is it your turn to go first or is it mine?
I believe it's your turn to go first.
Okay. This one here I am really hedging on, okay? And I am going 40 on Murrow, okay?
Okay.
35 on Ellis, okay? and 20. Now I'm going to go 40 on Morrow, 30 on Ellis, 30 on other.
Oh,
40,
wow.
30, 30.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm
changing it midstream.
Going higher on.
We can debate whether that's ethical.
What's that? What if you're debating what's ethical?
to do it live as opposed to go with what you had already written down. That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, there's a status quo bias here, right? But I do think that this is the likeliest place for them to add a week one starter. Yep. It's still hard to bet on that. Mm-hmm. I have it as 21 for other, and then I have a 1 point advantage, 40 on Ellis and 39 on Morrow. I'm going, I think that is betting against the odds, but I see the path for Christian Ellis to go ahead and take that job.
Now, can you claim credit on Ellis? Because even though he wasn't a camp crush, he was a beau. You were on him earlier. You wrote about him before anyone else did. You guys share the Disney music.
I liked connection. Him in the summer too. And what I always thought was notable, this is not me claiming him. I always thought you could tell that they liked him because it was notable that he was injured at the start of camp. And there was never any thought of like him being released. They always wanted to keep him around. Hmm. It was a little bit like they did that, I think, with Marcus Epps once. But anyway, listen, I'm happy to add him to my stable. He's
what's the song you guys?
He's sort of in the he's sort of in the Boston Scott realm for me, where I think I was on him early, but.
And then he became too mainstream and you were right. Like, Boston, we had our moments. When you were a 49er, I was all over you. But now, once you got a desirable number,
yes.
Yeah. That's probably, I mean, when a guy changes their number, that's that for you. It's like they're too mainstream. Is that correct? Once you're Maybe. Able, once you can go to Greg D and be like, I want that number.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. Then you have too much clout for. Yeah,
well, I've let they're my beautiful butterflies. I'm letting them fly away. You know,
letting them fly away. Okay.
Okay. All right. An interesting one here, Zach, and I don't know if I laid this one out the best because we're talking cornerback four here, and we've got Greedy Williams, Keely Ringo, Josh Jobe, and other. But I don't have Zach McPherson in here, and so he's included in other, and I think there's a shot that he ends up just being cornerback four because he can be the backup in the slot and also play on the outside. So I've got 33 on other, 32 on Greedy Williams, 31 on Keely Ringo, and 5 on Josh Jobe.
Okay. So I have 50 on Greedy.
Interesting.
Okay. I have 25 on Ringo. I have 10 on Jobe. Okay. And 15 on other. Now, I wasn't thinking as much about the McPherson part of it, but I will stick to that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not as sold on Greedy Williams. There's a job there for him to win, but he's, I don't know. I don't think that Josh Jobe is in a position to be counted on as cornerback four. And I also think it's probably going to be too early for Keely Ringo. Don't you?
I do. Yeah, I think that's too early. I know you're not big into Greedy. But
I'm not against Greedy.
You're not against Greedy.
I know you're anchored to the second round pedigree. Yeah.
I mean, Howie's taking a offseason approach straight out of my playbook here, right? Yeah. Draft pedigree all the way.
Yeah. All right. At safety, we've done it a little bit differently. We've got the combinations for the week one starters. So will it be Reed Blankenship and Terrell Edmonds? Will it be Reed Blankenship and Sidney Brown? Will it be Sidney Brown and Terrell Edmonds, or will it be something else entirely? I believe it's your turn to go first.
Wait, you blank? Okay.
Did you not? Did you not? You want me to go first?
Because because I misinterpreted this. Okay, I viewed the slashes as like one or the other.
Got it.
Not as distinguishing between the two.
Okay, this one's about the combination. So I have it as 47 turkeys on Reed Blankenship and Terrell Edmonds. I have 43 turkeys on Reed Blankenship and Sidney Brown. I have 5 turkeys on Sidney Brown and Terrell Edmonds, and 5 turkeys on other. It is the opinion of my turkeys that Reed Blankenship will be a week one starter, and he is the most likely to be?
Okay. So you are going with an old camp flame here. So my top option here is actually opposite of you or different of yours. I'm going Sidney Brown and Terrell Edmunds. I think Sidney Brown's going to win that job, and I think Blankenship's going to be the third safety.
Really? For week one? Interesting.
Yeah, so I'm giving that one 45.
Wow. Ooh, this is going to be the biggest swing of turkeys to the castle.
I think I am going with so we don't have a – I'm sorry here.
You've got the three combinations.
Yeah, so 45. Those. Yeah, okay. All right. So I'm going – I'm going to hedge my Brown numbers here. I'm still going heavy on Brown.
Okay.
But the two combinations with Brown.
Sure.
So I'm going to go 40 and 40 on the Brown ones.
Oh, take a stand. Go 41-39 in some direction.
No. So, okay. Let's go 41 on Brown and Edmunds.
Okay.
39 on Brown and Blankenship.
Okay.
And then let's go with 10 on Blankenship and Edmunds and 10 on Brown and other. Mm. Actually, no. Let's go.
It's just other. Anything else you get.
Oh, just other.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Brown.
The slash is really threw me off here.
I'm sorry.
No problem. No. I'm not getting on you for that. I just apologize. I'm not more organized on that.
Okay. So you've got 41 on Brown and Edmunds, 39 on Blankenship and Brown, 10 on Blankenship and Edmunds, and 10 on other.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Last one, Zach. Punter. Aaron Sipos, Ty Zentner, and other. It's your turn.
My turn first.
You close us out.
Yes. I'm going 60 on Sipos, 30 on Zentner, 10 on other.
Zach, I have gone 60 on Sipos, 30 on Zentner, and 10 on other.
Ah, great minds think alike.
Yeah, I think that seems about right. Okay.
I have no analysis. I got a text today from someone. How are the punters looking? And I got to say, I have nothing to share on the punters.
Okay.
So,
all right, Zach, we've reached the portion of the show in which you now have the floor to talk about your perspective of the hydration fiasco.
I wasn't going to bring this up.
It's only fair. I get on you. You can get on me. It's only fair.
Yeah, but I don't get on you publicly. I get on you. But you asked, and let's have this conversation.
It's okay.
Okay. It was hot today, as Bo noted. He mocked it, but it was hot. And we're waiting for the press conference, and Bo's thirsty. And when Bo's thirsty, he needs to be hydrated. And
listen, so all Bo I do went, is ever hear from you about it. You got to hydrate. Yeah. You got to hydrate. I'm trying to
it's
take
true.
That to heart.
It's true. 100 ounces a day. So Bo went to the Boys and Girls Club set up, okay, for to give these to give the young boys and the young girls in Philadelphia who are getting this amazing opportunity to be so close to the practice field to make sure they stay hydrated, to drink water and to eat good food. And they get a chance to meet the players. And there's a bucket of water there for the Boys and Girls Club of Philadelphia. Okay. And Bo comes in, puts his hand in the water, in the grabs the one he wants.
Wasn't quite so demonstrative.
And walks over. And I'm telling you, takes a swig of water, and he looked like Andy Dufresne on the roof in Shawshank Redemption. I got it, and so I'm looking at him, and Bo's like, "What? I'm thirsty, or it's hot outside."
No,
like,
that was not.
I have no objection with you drinking the water. I'm saying you couldn't go to a different. You had to take it from the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay, well, now you weren't there early yesterday before the press conferences begin. This is the closest adjacent tent to where the press conferences are. Yesterday, the bottle of water was on the other side, so it was more towards the field side. and everybody was coming through grabbing a water. And the Eagles personnel was there. There were no complaints about that. It seemed entirely kosher. These events are staffed, so there's plenty of water in there. If there were to not be water, that water would be refilled. It's not like these like children were sitting there dying for water. I thought this was an appropriate thing to do, to get water. I could have walked, 20 yards away, or I guess more like 50 yeah. yards away, I suppose, but I didn't want to miss the press conference. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. I thought that this was entirely appropriate. But I'm willing to be wrong.
What does the audience think here?
We're gonna have to wait. I think we're gonna have to get a larger sample on this one. Maybe I'm anti kids. I don't know.
I have no objection with you getting water. My issue is
I thought the precedent had already been set.
By whom? By the people 2 days ago. Or 3 days
yeah.
ago. You're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like
it was the closest water.
Were you gonna take their pizza as well?
No,
or just their water. Okay.
It's a different thing.
Yeah. But I felt bad because I really feel like I got on your nerve. I made a comment in practice and you did not like it.
I know. I thought it was fair. Listen, if I dish it out, I got to be able to take it too.
I was thinking that's the water for the Boys and Girls Club. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think they were all well hydrated enough, but we can circle back. I had a question that was relayed to me that wanted to be asked to you. Peckness migrate, Zach. Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos. Bezos.
Ooh, okay. In what sense? Like their business? I've read a lot about Jeff Bezos, so I'll probably go with Bezos there.
As your nest,
definitely as my nest.
this is funny. Huh? Next week, Bo's blood sugar was low. He was justified in taking the kid's lollipop.
I'm probably nesting.
You already nested. You already nested, basically.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, look, I respect different things about all of them, but probably pecking Zuckerberg there and migrating Elon. But I don't know. I would need to put more thought into that. But definitely nesting Bezos for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I have one last thing. I wanted to get your thoughts on this other story that was relayed to me. You ready? Tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
So this is this is a listener, and his friend belongs to a fitness club.
Okay. I know where you're going with this one. Okay.
And the fitness club offers a mug that means you get all you can drink iced coffee all summer. Now the friend's husband also uses the mug. And what will often happen is the wife will go in the morning and then the husband will go in the afternoon, use the mug, get the iced coffee. This all seems fine. It's all the same mug. This is, you're entitled to free iced coffee. But then it comes out that the husband doesn't belong to the fitness club. He's just going to use the mug. How do we feel about this arrangement?
Yeah. So that's not the story at all. I mean, there's a specific fact here that's incorrect.
Oh, okay.
The fitness club has a cafe that's open to the public. That's a good place to work. The cafe offers a free a water bottle right here. I don't want to give the branding away for the summer.
Oh, you've heard of this place. What?
Yeah, this happened to me. So this is the truth. Okay. And the promotion is from Memorial Day to Labor Day, you get free iced coffee or iced tea in – If you buy the water bottle rather. And so this fitness club, which is I go to coffee shops to work sometimes, and Emily said it's a fitness club Emily goes to, and Emily's like, you should work here. It's a great working environment. You know, they have a nice setup. And so I went one day and I concurred and I bought coffee that day. And I was talking to the very nice woman behind the counter, and she was explaining to me about the promotion. And I said, and she basically said that if you come 8 times between Memorial Day and Labor Day, it pays for itself. And I was like, but dude, I'm still in the
got a book to write.
I mean, right, yeah, that's I'll do that, right? And so I bought it. And my wife goes at like, you know, 5:30 a.m. There to work out, and I will give her the mug sometimes. I'm like,
oh, you're giving her the coffee. Mug.
I'm giving it to
you
her.
You got
I'm
the mug.
Her the water. Yeah, I got the
water.
Oh,
you
bottle.
Give her the mug.
Okay. But I'm not a member of the fitness club.
Oh.
I guess the debate is, okay, does the person have the promotion, or does the mug have the promotion, or the water
the
bottle? In other words, yes, exactly. So that I had a debate with a friend of mine the other night. I did not expect it to be podcast fodder. I am not a member of this fitness club. My wife is a member of the fitness club, but the cafe is independent of the fitness club. Well, it's not. It's open. You don't have to be a member to work in the cafe.
So the workaround is that you're giving Emily the mug that you bought to get unlimited iced coffee. It's correct. Not that she got yes. the mug for by being a member.
No,
of the fitness
I
club.
No. Yeah, no. Okay. I got the mug. I work there. She does not frequent the cafe. I mean, she frequents the fitness center. And but I say it, I mean, because she makes coffee every morning. I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm trying to get into it because I don't have the same endurance that I had 10 years ago. But that's the conversation.
Got
is,
it.
And I think they thought it was funny that I was doing work at the
right. I do. I do think that's funny, but that's okay.
Yeah, at the fitness club cafe.
Now, question in the comments, Zach. If you're going and just filling up that free iced coffee, are you putting a tip in the tip jar?
I'll put a tip in when I grab, you know, a bite to eat.
Okay.
When I'm there or something, but not if I'm just filling up they're not filling up the coffee, by the way. Like there's a
yourself.
Fountain where you just
you yes, ever put your like, mouth exactly. on that spigot?
Put my mouth on the spigot? That'd be horrible. No. Unlike you, though, I want everyone else to drink and enjoy. Okay? Yeah. So no. So I don't do that now. Yeah, no. So
okay. I think that's you know what that seems pretty much on the up and up to me.
Absolutely. So you think that it's the water bottle that gets the free coffee and not the and
I mean I think it's a little principle. I think it's funny, but yeah, I don't think it's that out of the ordinary.
Because by the way, if I showed up without the water bottle, I'm not entitled to the free coffee. I have to have this.
True. Yes. Yeah. The mug has the power.
Precisely. Now,
but what if you were, you know, what if this was you in the household you grew up in and you were just handing the mug to every single one of the siblings? They could just go in, get an iced coffee and come out and then just you got a little line going.
I mean, we didn't drink coffee.
Where does it stop?
Yeah. That's a fair question. That's a fair question. I think now what you could shoot back with is if I was a member, they'd probably have me in the system. Right, that I got this, and oh, you forgot your water bottle, but we see on your membership that you bought one. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm not a member. I'm just someone who goes. Now they have, by the way, they have certain booths, more desirable booths, I guess, that are reserved for members. Mm-hmm. And I don't sit in those booths.
Yeah. Okay. Last thing, Kent wanted to know what your thoughts on the aliens are.
Bring me up to speed, Kent.
Testimony before Congress the other day about alien spaceships.
I did not see that testimony before Congress. No.
You were too focused on the congresswoman at the prayer breakfast.
You have to give background on that so people don't misconstrue.
I don't know that we
okay?
do.
No. So I was, so someone was remarking today, another reporter, that, you know, when they get up early in the morning, like 7 or 8, and I made a joke, that's not getting up early unless you're a congressperson.
I don't know if that helps the context.
Yeah, I was speaking of specifically about waking up early, not about anything nefarious.
It doesn't have to be nefarious. I mean, okay, between a loving couple.
True, true. I, you know, it's probably better that I stay out of this conversation in general. Yeah.
I mean, how do you think? I love, they're sharing mugs, you know.
Yeah, I love my job. I want to keep my job, so I don't want to say anything. I thought it was. I did not expect that to make the podcast, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, you know, you can't be too surprised.
Nah, I have no objection to anything. I do wake up earlier than that. So.
Yeah, we know. All right, that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We'll be back on Tuesday, unless there's some kind of crazy thing that happens at practice on Sunday. Next week, we've got Tuesday, Thursday, Friday coming your way. So buckle up as training camp rolls on for Zach and Kent and all the aliens. We thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week. And as always, we love you. Birds with Friends.